Glory to God. So while you're standing, I'd like to turn to John, the 15th chapter. Our power hour is up here tonight. That's a wonderful thing. Our youth are up here. Glory to God. John chapter 15, starting in verse 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you." Why? "That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You think God wants us to be happy? I do. See, the world doesn't understand that. The world thinks, you know, God's in the takeaway business, and we are sad people, but God wants us to be a glad people. John 17 and 13 says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." I know what my joy is like, but to have God's joy inside of me, that's the real deal, folks. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 3. Here's a pastor talking to a congregation. "And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." In other words, what he's saying is, my joy is in you. When I see you doing well, that's my joy. And may I say this, that God's joy is to see us doing well. Lord, again, we ask your blessing on the word, that there be an anointing in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today, technology is so incredible. Our greeters now are equipped with a joy meter at the door. Not for visitors, but for saints. So if the saint doesn't have the joy of the Lord in them, we will not have any sad sacks allowed in the church. Because not only is God looking for our joy, but visitors are looking for our joy. If we're not excited about this, how would we expect a visitor to get excited about the things of God? If we lose our joy and gladness to be in church, we are in jeopardy of losing our salvation, because the only thing that gets us excited to come to church is the joy of the Lord. I'm excited about God. I remember my first Bible study. It was with a neighbor across the street and her family, And I talked to her for a couple of weeks, my wife and I, and she said, "You know, we've talked for years about a whole lot of things, but when you started talking about God, there's something that was so exciting in you. I wanted what you had." Jesus said in John 16 and 22, "Your joy no man taketh from you." So people can't take your joy, but we can surrender our joy because of problems and worries and sickness, and now we're not as happy, we're not as joyful. And I know what that's all about. I've gone through it. I know what grieving is all about. But when those things take our excitement for God, well, then it's not long that it'll take our salvation. these things all siphon off our joy, and then we become spiritually weak. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." So if you don't have any joy, you don't have any strength, you become weak. If that is true, the enemy of our soul wants to steal our joy, to preoccupy us with situations and troubles, to take our joy. No one ever walked away sad after being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, oh, this is just terrible, you know? There's something about having God inside of us that makes us happy, folks, makes us completely content with whatever situation that we're in. Proverbs 17 and 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine or a cure, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Nothing is worse than dry bones in the church. You know? Many of you may not remember this little girl that used to be in our church. I've mentioned her over the years. She's passed away. Danielle, she was in a wheelchair all of her life because of muscular dystrophy. She was Kathy's best friend. But there was nobody that had more joy than this lady. Always a smile, always upbeat, you know. In fact, WTMJ featured her in one of their segments because of her loving attitude and infectious joy that she had. See, people couldn't understand, how can you be happy in the dilemma that you're at? But God smiles at people like that when they can be happy in whatever state they're at. I remember going to the hospital to see Sister Berg years ago when she was diagnosed with stage four cancer, and the technician was wheeling her into radiation or chemotherapy or something, and I had him stop so I could pray for her, my wife and I, and first words out of her mouth was, "God is so good." Hello. How thrilled does God get? When we're excited about Him and in pain or in peril, you see? It could be so easy to lose our joy in the Lord because of the plights in life, and there are many situations that everyone, I don't care how spiritual you are, you're going to go into some kind of situation that you don't particularly care for. But then we have a sentence of sadness and self-pity, trying to blame somebody else. "God, it's the woman you gave me." And the woman blames the serpent, and then it all starts, you know? This is not the blame game. It's God, you're in charge, and whatever happens, you know. Turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter 1 and verse number 7. It says, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth." Wait a minute, that can't be right. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Notice that the joy unspeakable came after the trial of your faith. I want to have joy all the time, but I don't want to have any trials of my faith, you see. Glory to God. Danielle had a confidence in God that could not shake her faith nor her joy. I remember going to the hospital in those last days, and she had a computer set up, you know, in her bed, sending little messages of goodness to other people. Not so concerned about herself. It's hard for us mortals to understand Hebrews 12 and 2. I don't understand it. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what he started, he can finish. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. How in the world could you get joy out of such a horrible death? Jesus saw beyond the pain and the shame, the joy of interaction with his creation because of the cross. He was looking ahead to what we could produce here tonight, the association that we have. But it wouldn't come until he suffered and died. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 3, we read that his joy was in the joy of the people that were saved. It is said that Paul ran to the chopping block, that he didn't care about this life. It says in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Of course, he got a glimpse of heaven that a lot of people have not. But because of that, his joy couldn't be shaken. He declared he experienced unspeakable things in heaven. You see, when we experience the touch of God on a regular basis, it's easy to maintain our joy and our gladness in God. You know, I'm in pain, but wow, I felt the Shekinah glory of God in my life. And see, what it does is says, God knows all about this. Nothing's impossible, but there must be a purpose here. There must be a joy down the road because of what I'm going through. You know, and if I complain through the whole thing, maybe it'll be 40 years in the wilderness. Murmuring doesn't bring you out of your dilemma. Hallelujah. Which in turn gives us strength regardless of the fight that we are in. Sunday morning, I watched Sister Lapatina watch her son singing in the children's choir for the first time, and he was really getting into it. but I saw this glow on her face, this could life get any better than that? Also holding her new daughter with the love and the joy of a mother. I haven't asked her about the pain associated with those births. But the joy is greater than the pain, you see. And the joy came after the pain. Psalms 30 and 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The night and then the morning. Our spiritual birth was paid for on the cross, and God stares at each and every one of us with that same kind of joy. Even though he went through the pain, there's a deliverance of each and every one of us staring at us as we raise our hands and worship God. It's the same thing. Okay, say you lost some of your original joy that you received when you got the Holy Ghost. Say you're not quite as excited as you were when you walked home or drove home that night, and maybe you couldn't even stop speaking in tongues. It was siphoned off because of problems. And now this part, I preach to myself every week, you know. Disappointments, yeah. Situations you have to deal with that I'd rather not deal with, yeah. But if that siphons the joy that I have in the position I have, then I'm in big trouble. So how do I get back that joy of serving God and loving people, which maybe is even harder than the joy of the Lord? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because God has an answer in his word. Let's take a look at Psalms, the 16th chapter. Psalm 16, starting in verse number 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You mean it's God's responsibility to maintain my situation? The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You know where we're going, folks? We're going to end up in eternity in heaven. Hallelujah. We're getting crowns. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. There my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So where are we getting our joy? It's in the presence of God. If you're not in the presence of God, joy is being siphoned out of you because of all of the things that we're exposed to every day in the world. I got to get a joy refill. It's in the presence of, in your presence is fullness of joy. So it's important in Scripture that God has Peter put in his first message in the church on the day of Pentecost. This message in Psalm 16 is so important that we want to transfer it into the New Testament, and no better place than on the first day of Pentecost, in the first preaching of Pentecost. So Acts, the second chapter, verse number 26, it says, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh did rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance or presence. So it was true in the Old Testament that the joy of the Lord is found in the presence of God. The same is true in the New Testament, full of joy. Not just part full, not just a little full. I got happy for a little while during song service. If we need to restore our joy, we need to restore the presence of God in our lives. That's just the formula. It's a simple formula. Why do I always have to come to church, Pastor? Because you need a fill-up. You need to get the joy in your life. Well, I can worship at home. Well, yeah, you can. But do you? See, this is a support group. You know? It's like exercise. Exercise works when you've got more than one person exercising. You can stop whenever you want, but we go for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, sometimes longer in our worship, which forces you to get filled up, full of joy at the presence of God. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 tells us, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not only freedom, but there is joy. There was a time when David backslid from serving God, and he could have blamed Nathan the prophet because, well, he just didn't come around long enough, you know? I mean, Pastor, if you were there, you know, if you would have been closer to me, you know, Nathan, well, maybe I wouldn't have gotten into trouble. Or all this war business has just wore me out. Or I've been dealing with my problems with King Saul. No, the real problem was he lost his joy to serve God. Somehow, because of the things that he's been dealing with, no longer did he say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, there's got to be something fixed here. Think about it. The man after God's own heart didn't want to go to church. Why? Because he lost his excitement. When couples say, we've fallen out of love, that is the biggest lie that has ever been told. Because at one time you loved. And now you don't love anymore. Well, whose fault is that? Like God said in Revelation, the second chapter, I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. When finally the man of God told him, thou art the man, he could have blamed Nathan, but he didn't. David decided to repent and seek the Lord. You know, if you're not doing well, you don't want to be in the presence of God because you're afraid of chastisement. You know? I knew when I was about to get a licking, you know, at home. I knew, you know? Maybe I'll just stay, but the refrigerator's at home and, you know. Turn to Psalms 51, very familiar. Starting in verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See, if we're not excited about God, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, last thing we want to do is talk to somebody about God. A whole church full of new converts is a mighty thing, because they're so excited about what God has done, they just have to tell everybody else. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. When? After his joy was restored. And then if you'll turn to Joel. minor prophet. Chapter 1, starting in verse number 9. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Provision for the church is provided by the joy of the church. You have to come to church. Okay, I'll come. But there's no joy. And then there's no provision. See, if I'm truly excited about God and want to be with him, he wanted to be with us so bad that he was willing to suffer and die on the cross for the joy that was set before him, then how much more should we want to be with him? Glory to God. It said, because joy withereth away, the harvest of the field is perished. People are attracted to the joy of the Lord in our lives, and they are tired of sad religion. They want something happy. They want something glad. I've said this evangelistically 100 times. When we were about to build our first building here, they tore down a Catholic church and seminary, and we went and we reclaimed a lot of marble. We have it in our bathrooms downstairs and a number of other places in the church, and it was very inexpensive, but we worked for a couple of weeks in sub-zero weather. I thought Brother Tim Hoffman was going to die in the process. But they had these huge stained glass windows, and I got to know the guy who was doing the wrecking of the place. And he said, hey, listen, I shouldn't be saying this, but you can have these windows if you want. Gorgeous windows. But in every one of these windows, there was an apostle looking down like he was going to smite somebody, you know. Going to get you if you don't do it right. I said, nah, we'll pass. We don't want that kind of image. We want the image of a joyful God with open arms. Hallelujah. The greatest witness are those who get excited about the message. If you want, you can come to my Bible study. You know, it's long. Long, long, long. There may be some things in there you won't like. Gee, I wonder why I can't get a Bible study. I just don't understand it, you know. There was a man who was in the church long before I was pastoring, he came to my house and said, hey, there's a guy at work. He seems very interested in God. And I think you could relate to him. He's in business. And would you mind if I brought him over to the house? And I said, sure. You know, we spent about an hour talking about the things of God. You could see that God was all over him. And he left and he said, you know, I'm going to check into this and maybe even a Bible study. I'll talk to my wife about it. An hour later, I got a call from him and he said, could I bring my wife over and could you tell her exactly the same things that you told me? Isaiah 12 and 3 says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's the only bucket you have, folks. Sad people don't even know if they're saved. They can only take up space and inspect other people. But people with joy, a fullness of joy, they don't care what's going on in everybody else's life. They just are happy they're there. If our church ever gets to that point of exceeding great joy, not over the things that salvation can bring, but just get excited about Jesus. Just so simple. Just want to be with you, God. What if we just came to praise God, not for what we could get from God, but just because of the joy that we have in serving God? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When the angels transferred that joy unto man, it was at the time Jesus came into the world, but that doesn't mean that there's no joy in heaven. But the joy was that someone came in order to give us fullness of joy. Without that joy, we just aren't satisfied. We can have all of the trinkets, all of the gadgets, all of the things that this world can provide, but it just won't satisfy. Because every time a sinner transfers his membership from hell to heaven, it gives the cue to rejoice in heaven with exceeding great joy. A transfer to new management. My Bible tells me that all heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Now, if the angels rejoice over one sinner, then this church should have a joy breakdown every time someone's baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. Do we realize what happened? What do you think the angels did when they heard the announcement that you got saved? And now, presenting Kevin Moran, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't even know what he would become, how faithful he'd be. Listen, if heaven has joy over me, we should have joy over the God who suffered for the joy that was set before him. Because if there is no joy, there is no harvest. There's no fulfillment in our life. Then we become just like every other denomination that we do it out of, well, obligation. God doesn't want a church here because of ritual or obligation or that's what you have to do, you know. Glory to God. And the answer is simple. The joy of the Lord in his presence is the joy of the Lord. Just get in his presence. Amen. You don't have to wait until Sunday. You can get into his presence. Glory to God. Have a joy breakdown like Peter did. Amen. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?
And fear and great destruction.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a couple here Sunday night. My wife and I talked to them, a whole group of people, and they said, this is such a happy church, such friendly people. They have invited us and knew our names. This is the second time that she came. That's what this world is looking for. Amen. Would you come? The altar is open.